At Lincoln County Connections, we talk about news events. We talk to people within and outside of Lincoln County government. And on the program today, Jamila Freightman. Good morning.
Hi, Casey. Good morning.
Is this the first radio show you've been on?
This is my very first
one. It is. Yes. Well, you know, it'll be fine. And you and I have been working together, and I know that the great work that you're doing. And so this is a good opportunity for us to share with the community their chance to work with you. Can you give us just an overview? What are you specifically targeting?
Basically, my job here in Lincoln County is to work with vulnerable populations, and I'll be building an emergency plan for facilities who serve vulnerable populations, and that would be, you know, children, people with disabilities, senior citizens, anyone who falls under that vulnerable population under the umbrella. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be working with these facilities on getting their emergency plans together.
Well, maybe, and I know you're going to have, we'll give some specific details about how folks can contact you. It will come at no charge to them to work with you. So that's a great opportunity. Why don't we take a moment before we get into what COOPs are, those specific details, and talk a little bit about you as an AmeriCorps Vista. Take us back to where you're from, and because you're a long way from home, really. Where did you go to school?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I attended Georgia State University. I got my bachelor's in sociology. I minored in biology, and I was pre-med. I've known a lot of people who've done AmeriCorps, and so as a new graduate, I knew I wasn't ready to just go back to school. So I wanted to do something in a community, get away from home, and AmeriCorps was the easiest way for me to do that. So I went on the website and I applied for various amounts of jobs, but I knew I wanted it to be in healthcare, mm-hmm. and I didn't care where I went. So I wanted to just go for the first place who said, we are going to offer you the volunteer position. And that's how I got to Lincoln County. And so being here, I'm really glad that I made that decision to come here. And I love the work that I'm doing.
Did you have anything that happened in your history or things that you've observed going through school that made you kind of want to be pre-med? I mean, what makes someone want to end up being a doctor, or is that specifically what you're going for?
Well, being in AmeriCorps in healthcare, I have seen people, you know, who have not been able to gain access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. I've been in a situation where I was leaving the doctor's office. A woman and her child came into the doctor's office, and she was trying to get the doctor to see her child because there was a rash, and she got turned away. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my goodness, something needs to change. Like, if there's anything I could do to help people who are in that situation, I want to do it. And so I've always been involved with community service and doing things for other people. And so, and in AmeriCorps, being at the poverty level, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to live below the poverty level. You know, they want you to feel how it feels to be in that position and also help people. After experiencing that situation and seeing you with my own eyes, I was like, I want to be in public health and be a doctor so I can help these people.
That's wonderful. That's really cool. You are one of several that are in the county right now. We were talking about who those individuals are. We've got you working in emergency preparedness. We've got Elise Jordan working on homelessness, and she's working with the Warming Center right now. Who are the other Vistas that you network with in our community that we're fortunate to have right now?
Yes. There's Brittany Russell, mm-hmm. and she's at the Help Center at Yaquina View Elementary. Mm-hmm. And there is Hannah Kinnett, and she's in Lincoln City at the Help Center there. And there's also Katie Kirkendall, and she's mm-hmm. also with Family Literacy, and she's at the Help Center with Brittany Russell.
So we've got those individuals working with the school district. In the last 3 years, I think like about the fourth Vista who's worked specifically for Lincoln County. And I think it is important to emphasize that you were here for a year. You were here on a volunteer basis, and you know, you don't get paid very much. How does an AmeriCorps make the ends meet out there, given these circumstances?
Well, since we are living under the poverty level, we do get the benefits that come with it. So I am on SNAP, so I get food stamps, which mm-hmm. is a lot of help. And trying to find housing that's affordable was pretty hard when I first got here, but I found somewhere to live, and, you know, I can use one check you know, for rent, basically, and the rest of it to pay bills or, you know, for gas. And so it's a really good learning experience to learn how to budget. And so, like, a lot of people, they're intimidated by the idea of living below the poverty level and only getting this stipend every month just for housing, basically. Mm-hmm. But when you really get into it, you find that it's very livable once you live under it. I don't feel like strained for money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just me. I have my dog here, but, you know, it's just me and him, but I live.
Lincoln County Connections, we are talking to Jamila Freitman. She's an emergency preparedness, AmeriCorps VISTA, developing COOP plans and other emergency-related things for organizations in Lincoln County. Tell us what a continuity of operations plan is. Why would we want one of those?
A continuity of operations plan, the COOP, is an all-hazards plan to ensure that you can continue your essential functions after a disaster or, you know, emergency happens. So all hazards, it's from power outage to tsunami, things like that. Mm-hmm. So basically it's something on paper that you can go to, you know, to access, you know, your call list if you need more workers to come into work. It has, you know, emergency numbers, you know, if you can put your plumber's number in there if you need that. It's just a plan that you have in place that you can, it's just the go-to plan that you would have.
In watching you work through an assessment with a local organization last week, one of the things that I was struck by was that whether it's a plan for a business or a plan for you and your household and your family or you as an individual, I'm sure you and your dog have your own plan should disaster strike. And one of the things that was interesting in watching you go through this assessment process, asking these questions about all these essential functions, whether or not employees have a plan and they'll show up is important too.
Exactly. So within the assessment, it does have a question that asks, have you discussed with your staff emergency plans with their families? Because if, you know, your staff and their family isn't prepared, if something were to happen, they're not going to show to work, up to work. They're going to take care of their family first, which, you know, I would do if I was in that situation. So it pretty much covers all of the things that you kind of forget to think about when you're preparing, you know, your emergency plans. And so it's a really good benchmark to see where you are. And then if it's on file, so later you can see, you know, where you've, how you've improved upon your plan. So no matter how prepared you think you are, there's always something that you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. You know, and it's good to kind of jot that down and remember it and remember it for later to improve on it.
Now, I saw you working through an assessment with Shangri-La. I know you're working with the Truman Center, for example, and those are larger organizations. But say someone who runs a small daycare, maybe they just watch three children. Would they be someone who could come to you and develop their own small continuity of operations plan for their small business?
Yes. So when I'm developing the COOP, it'll basically be tailor-made for the facility. So whether it's a small facility or a large facility, it'll be tailor-made for your facility. So even if your facility has homes away from the main office, I can create plans for each of those individual homes where you may have people who live there who have disabilities or senior citizens or, you know, other people like that. So it's basically will be tailor-made for your facility.
I know there can be some intimidation about how to put it all together. What I saw is that's where you really come in and break it down into some steps. Can you give us some idea of the types of questions that you ask? Did you say there was like 20 questions on the basic assessment?
Yeah, it's like less than 20 questions. Like one of the questions would be, if you have a plan, does the plan include sheltering in place? Like, does it have a list of supplies and where those supplies are located? There's another question about whether your facility has 3 to 5 day supply of food and water per person. And there's a question about generators and if you have a generator, what kind of fuel the generator has. And then from that question, you know, I would ask, have you tested your generator? Do you know how to use it? And if it's yes or no, you know, we can assess based on your answer. So there's another question on if you have emergency outlets in all of the rooms. It just covers a lot of things that you don't think
about.
What
about the emergency outlets?
Well, with the emergency outlets, basically, if you have a generator, you can use it to plug the generator in. And it's got the buttons on it, so test and retest buttons.
Gotcha.
Those would be the emergency outlets that you would usually find in bathrooms mm-hmm. or in kitchens. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what that question is all about.
What are some other questions that you ask?
Let's see. I would ask if your facility has oxygen and whether mm-hmm. or not you distribute oxygen. Another question would be, where do you get your medication from? And if you have another place to get your medication in case of an emergency.
And do you find that that's kind of poses an interesting dilemma? Because depending on when those medications cycle through, if you have a client, you have to, as you say, shelter in place. How long do the are they there? Because we know prescriptions are kind of rotational. So
with each individual, it's good for them to have a plan. And within that plan, they should have an extra supply of their medication anyway, mm-hmm. just in case something were to happen. So, you know, they wouldn't have to scramble and find a pharmacy. And, you know, that pharmacy could be full of people who are all trying to get their medications refilled. So it's good to have your own plan as well, even if you are a part of a facility who serves you. And so, you know, you can be self-sufficient even if your facility's not as sufficient enough. You know what you need to do if you need to leave or if you need to go get extra food or anything like that.
When you walk people through the process, they answer the questions, you gather the data essentially, and do you give them back something printed out? How does that work?
Yes, well, after I do the assessment, I give them a copy of it. So it was a digital copy, so I email it back to them. And then it's good so I can see what they have. Mm-hmm. And then I send them templates so that they can fill out so that I can just input it into their plan. And then once they finish all of those templates, I will basically put it together, make it look pretty, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then I will send it back to them or print it out and give it to them and say, here's your plan. Like, when you look at it, it is intimidating because when I first saw these plans, I was like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to, you know, condense this down into a way where I understand it and so that it will be good enough for people to use and easy to understand. And so by breaking it up into parts and, you know, filling it out, you know, this one and then filling out this template and then putting it all together, it just makes the process easier. It's like a step-by-step process.
The plans may be in place by some organizations already, in which case you might be coming in and revisiting that with them, having an outside eye take a look at their continuity of operations plans. Are some facilities required to have plans in place? Or
some facilities are required to have a plan, and eventually I believe that more facilities would be required to have a plan by the state. Mm-hmm. It's good if you don't have one to kind of get a jump start on it, and regardless, it's good to have a plan in place anyway. And, you know, if you have already started the process and you get the plan done, you know, and someone from the state comes and asks you, do you have an emergency plan? You know, you already have this done and you will be prepared, you know, to talk to the mm-hmm. state and tell them, yes, I have this plan in place and I can show it to you. I've already done it.
Well, I know you're working with our emergency services manager as well to make sure that county and local first responders and cities, et cetera, are aware of the special needs communities so that emergency responders are prepared to know what might be happening out there, say, for example, in a case of an earthquake. So it's really good because it'll allow the county as well to kind of know if there are challenges out there for facilities or individuals. So it goes into the database, doesn't it, and it makes us more robust and prepared.
Yes, it does. And by me going out into the field and talking to these facilities, I know where they're located. So I can use the information I have for mapping. And if something were to happen, I can give it to Jenny Damaris, and they can know, you know, where to focus and help these people evacuate if that was a situation for evacuation.
Okay, well, we got a minute left. Jamila Freitman will help you work on your continuity of operations plan. How do they reach you?
You can reach me by phone. My phone number is 541-265-0449. And my email address is jfreightman, F-R-E-I-G-H-T-M-A-N, @co.lincoln.or.us.
Well, we have a media release about the work you're doing and the opportunities for businesses, organizations to participate and work with you. We'll get that on the county homepage when we get it polished up, and I'm hoping this week we'll have that online. So if you've been listening today, that contact information will be available to you soon. Please take advantage of it. Make our community safe. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week.